This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio is known around the world as a top tourism destination. It's a place of great food, history, and people. But is that enough? What does the city need to be doing to grow as a destination city? Promotion, research, and development takes money. Where does that come from? Are we spending it the right way? Is there appropriate oversight and transparency? What are the considerations to make sure that we're telling the right story of San Antonio to the world in the pursuit of more tourism? Tourism is a big part of the San Antonio economy. 1 in 6 here are employed in the hospitality industry. What questions and comments do you have? What concerns do you have about the direction of local tourism? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can tweet at us at @tprsource. Also, the number again, 210-614-8980. We're joined this afternoon by Scott Bailey. He covers tourism and economic development for the San Antonio Business Journal. Cassandra Matei is the president and CEO of Visit San Antonio. David Teal is the CEO of the Texas Travel Industry Association. All right, so let's go to Scott Bailey, covers tourism. He knows what's happening with the San Antonio Business Journal. How robust do you think San Antonio's tourism is?
Interesting. I mean, I think we're kind of at a tipping point. I've done a lot of rating, heard a lot of dialogue about 2019, 2020 being years of challenge, not totally understanding of why that is. I mean, there are certain factors that could come into play. So it'd be interesting to see what happens from this point moving toward the end of the year and into 2019.
So the tourism is not where people expect it to be right now?
I think there's concerns about volume of conventions, heads in beds, numbers of meetings. Not totally. Something that Cassandra, I hope, can enlighten why those challenges exist, but something that the industry is keenly aware of and has been aware of for some time.
Okay, so we have Cassandra now. Cassandra, are you there?
I am.
So tell me, what is the state? How robust is San Antonio's tourism situation?
Well, you know, in a broader perspective, when you look at we are the third largest industry in San Antonio. You talked about our employment numbers. But one of the things is we represent nearly a $14 billion economic generator for the city. And when you look at whether it's hotels, whether it's the visitor spend, you know, they contribute to our community in a very great way. And in fact, for homeowners, if you own a home in San Antonio, we save you about $1,200 per household in property taxes. So there is a direct benefit to the citizens of our community.
Can you kind of explain that for me? How does tourism save me property tax money?
So if we didn't have all the tax income coming to the city through sales tax. So when a visitor comes to the city, not only do they stay at a hotel, and yes, they contribute to the hotel occupancy tax, but they also are paying sales tax because they shop, they dine, they go enjoy many of the amenities within the city. So if it wasn't for their contribution to sales tax within our city, as well as the property taxes that are paid by the businesses in our industry sector, your taxes would be increased.
And we have to make clear right off the bat, I think, that the hotel motel tax money that we receive from when people come in, they spend the night in San Antonio, they get a hotel room, they're paying a tax on top of that. But that tax is very limited in what it can be used for. It can't go to pay for classrooms or teachers. It can't be used to pave streets. That's money that's dedicated for what, Cassandra?
So you're right. So there's a portion that is the state tax, and Mr. Teal can certainly talk about that in greater detail. But the city's portion, there is a percentage, 2%, that goes to pay off the debt of the convention center, which would include the recent extension of the building. It also goes up to any municipality around the state of Texas can commit to up to 15% to arts and culture and up to 15% to history and preservation. So in San Antonio, that we have done just that for many years. So the arts and culture this year they're receiving an estimated of $10 million, as well as history and preservation. And then about 35% goes to the convention sports facility, so to help run and offset the convention center costs. And then our portion from Visit San Antonio is 5%. And we utilize that to market and bring in more visitors, more conventions, et cetera. And so it's a cycle. But I think what's important is for the community to understand is that those same visitors are also paying into our sales tax, which does go to fire, police, and streets.
And so the idea being that when tourists come and they pay this additional tax for the hotel, motel, bed fee, occupancy tax, that this helps create the tourism experience. They are paying for the convention center. They're paying for arts and culture, which is something that they come to San Antonio for. They're coming for history and preservation. You know, they're looking at the Alamo. They're going to the missions. All sorts of history in San Antonio that needs to be preserved. So it's not like we're taking money away from them in order to, you know, for arbitrary type items. But it's because it's all contained into a system.
That's right. Well, and one of the things that I wanted to also make mention is 1.75% of the tax goes to the county, and they have been able to utilize those tax dollars for infrastructure that not only our out of town visitors utilize, but the citizens. To include the river improvements, the amateur sports facilities, arenas and grounds, as well as, you look at the Tobin Center for Performing Arts, that was paid partially by visitors. And so a lot of the amenities, AT&T Center, many people have either gone to Spurs games or concerts or the rodeo, tourism dollars helped pay for these venues. So again, that's another give back that visitors give to locals in our community.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear from David Teal, the CEO of the Texas Travel Industry Association, and about how the hotel motel tax impacts what he does and what the state of the Texas tourism industry is, how San Antonio and the state of Texas works together to try to maximize the tourism impact that we have here. Also, we want to hear from you. What are your questions and comments about what's happening with San Antonio tourism? We're talking about another fee that's going to be put onto the hotels in San Antonio to try to boost San Antonio's tourism. Why do we need to do that if we already have this other fee in place? And what kind of transparency are we going to have to make sure that money is well spent? Just because they're tourists coming to San Antonio and they're spending their money doesn't mean that we need to treat these tax dollars with any less respect than any other tax dollars. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this break. And welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about San Antonio's tourism economy. This thing is massive for San Antonio and for Texas. Texas, we get $74.7 billion in annual direct travel spending. So this is something that matters for the entire state economy. And let's go to David Teal. He's the CEO of the Texas Travel Industry. If you got a question or comment, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. A lot of people have concerns about tourism jobs, how well they pay, and whether or not this is what San Antonio needs to be dedicating itself to. But certainly it is a big part of our local economy. David Teal, talk about the Texas travel industry as a whole. What's the state of it?
Thanks, David. It's pretty robust. We've got some new research numbers in through the governor's office that show us, to the point you just made a while ago, it's about $75 billion, and that's a billion with a B, of direct travel spending in the state that this industry generates. And when you talk about the economic impact, you can roll multipliers into that, and we've had some numbers done before that will show that, using multipliers, that will go over $100 billion. A year. That's the contribution this industry makes to our state's economy. In fact, I think something that people don't know is that in terms of gross product, the travel industry is second in this state only to oil and gas. So we have a huge economic impact on the economy of the state. We're a huge employer. More than a million Texans, in some part, in some way, owe their employment, their jobs to travelers, and then the economy and the business impact that we have on the economy. So it's a great employer. It has a huge economic impact and footprint. And right now, things look pretty good. The economy is strong. That spending figure from last year was up 7% from the year before. Economy is strong. Consumer confidence looks good. So it looks like we're pretty well positioned to have a nice summer travel season, which is very important for travel and tourism, and throughout the rest of 2018.
So when we look at the Texas travel tourism industry, is this how much of this is like inside, you know, people from Houston going to the coast? You know, they go to Rockport Fulton to have a day of fishing and sun and surf. Or are these people coming, how many are coming from outside of Texas to enjoy the Texas experience?
The numbers that we just spoke about, that's attributable to more than 50% of the travelers being from outside our state. They come from other states, other countries. And that's, I think, a very underappreciated fact, is that we draw people into our state from other states, other countries. They bring new dollars into our economy, which, and that's true economic development. That's real economic impact. And I think that's something that's underappreciated.
So with the Texas Travel Industry Association, are y'all doing messaging to help engage folks about coming to Texas and what to expect and how to direct them to get the experience that they want out of Texas?
Well, I think we need to make a delineation. We are a statewide nonprofit trade association, and we are there to support the industry and advocate on behalf of the industry. The bulk of the marketing for the industry is done through the Economic Development and Tourism Division at the Governor's Office, and that's what they do. They primarily focus on advertising and promoting the state of Texas as a tourism destination to non-Texans. That's where they focus. They want to bring those new dollars into our state.
But we've seen that in the last legislative session, last budget, we've cut the funding for promotion. Is that right?
Unfortunately, that is correct. The funding was cut about 50% over the previous biennium.
And was there a story behind that?
I'm not sure exactly why. I think it was just part of some of the you know, philosophical leanings that we've seen in the legislature. I think it's something that, you know, we as people in this industry and citizens across the state really need to be talking to legislators and letting them know that this industry does have an important impact in our own communities. And that money, and quite frankly, you know, when we talked about the occupancy tax a while ago, in San Antonio and in every city across the state, 6% of that occupancy tax is a state occupancy tax. And it's a little different how that money is used at the state level than at the local level. 99.5% of that 6% state occupancy tax goes into what's called general revenue at the state budget, meaning it funds everything from education to transportation to human health and human services. Anything that you can imagine as a government priority at the state level, 99.5% of that occupancy tax goes to fund.
So it just goes into the big pot.
That's correct, and it's about $1 billion a biennium. 0.5% of that goes to the state, should go to the state tourism office. At least it's mandated by state tax code. And this is an issue of transparency I think that we all need to be dealing with and looking at, is they did not get that 0.5%. The legislature elected not to appropriate all of that money to them. They just didn't appropriate it at all. So it's their balancing the budget. And when you look at the impacts that come from the promotional efforts of that office, you know, it's about $4 billion in spending that results from people who see the advertising generated by that office. Why aren't we putting that money to work? If we're in a budget situation, we need to put 100% of that 0.5% to work for the people of the state of Texas so that we can bring visitors into our state and keep the tax obligations at the local level to a minimum.
We keep hearing that every dollar spent in this area is a dollar well spent, that it pays back, you know, multiple And in order to bring in people here, telling the Texas experience, and also providing jobs. And this is so important that we're talking about putting another fee here in San Antonio for hotel motels. But the legislature, they don't believe that, or what's the story?
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't...
It seems like we're hearing two messages. One of them is like, we need these dollars locally in order to promote tourism, and then when it comes to the lawmakers in Austin, it's not so much.
Well, I think there's a difference. At local levels, obviously, local communities have their own sets of priorities. State level, there's a different set of priorities. But I think at the end of the day, at least from our perspective on this issue, we will not have the robust travel and tourism industry that we have in this state or in your city or any city if we aren't fully funding the promotional efforts, if we aren't actively engaged in the marketplace, talking to consumers and letting the travelers know that even though there's a great Texas brand, we are here, be top of mind, come to see us. We'll vacate our place in the marketplace.
Very competitive.
Absolutely. We're competing with countries. It's not just other cities or other states. This is a global economy, and you have to aggressively go out and seize those dollars and seize those visitors to come to your destinations.
Because I watch TV, and you see commercials where, come visit California, come visit Louisiana. Are we running spots like that for Texas?
We are running spots like that for Texas, but, California is looking at a promotional budget well in excess of $100 million. Florida approaches $100 million. Texas now, with what happened with the last legislative session, has a promotional budget on par with Arkansas. So, when you think of a place that you want to go, nothing against Arkansas, but they're not a top-of-mind destination. And that's the challenge that we as a state are fighting from a funding standpoint. I'm afraid we're going to see, based upon this severe reduction in dollars for promotional efforts, Texas is going to begin to lose its position as a top-of-mind destination. We've seen that happen before in other states. There's data out there, examples out there that shows once you greatly reduce your footprint in the marketplace or vacate your place in the marketplace, you pay a price for that, and it's exceptionally difficult to regain your position.
Cassandra Matei, President and CEO of Visit San Antonio. Does this mean that San Antonio as a city needs to step up its game in order to compensate for the fact that the state is no longer willing to do its part to promote statewide tourism?
Well, exactly. One of the things to back up, we have been talking about a tourism public improvement district for a couple of years now, because when we separated from the city as a city department to now a 501c6, part of the charge from that council was to look at other ways to grow our marketing and sales budget. And so some of the ways we did that, we became and launched a membership organization, so we are receiving private dollars from that standpoint. But as an industry trend, starting California, now all over the U.S., there's over 160 tourism improvement districts. And in the state, in Texas alone, Dallas was the first, followed by Arlington and Fort Worth. And my understanding is Austin is having some conversations around that. So this is a trend we're seeing, because what I can tell you from, if we rely solely on our allocation of the hotel occupancy tax, our budget over the last 5 to 6 years has remained relatively flat. When I've seen what's happened to our competition around the state as well as nationally, they were growing their budget a lot faster than what we were able to. And so the mighty dollar speaks when you're talking about marketing and marketing dollars and sales efforts. So, in order to not only just stay on par with our competition, we now have the impact of what happened from a statewide perspective, and that budget's cut. So there's going to be some of the markets that we would have partnered with the state to reach that we may now have to do solely. So we're trying to work out aggressive planning, but that was secondary. secondary to our original conversation about a tourism improvement district.
So, Scott Bailey, you covered tourism economic development for the San Antonio Business Journal. As we covered the tourism public improvement district, which would cover the entire city and charge hotel guests a fee calculated at about 1.25% of the room rate on hotels, which is going to be already on top of what they're already paying for the hot hotel-motel occupancy tax. I mean, what are your concerns in regards of, you know, we keep charging tourists more. Is that going to impact, in your reporting, is that a concern by some?
I know in doing the homework for the story, other cities have done this. They've claimed that it's been successful, that there's actually return on the investment, multiple. Remains to be seen here. One of the questions that I know I would like a little bit more clarity on, it's going to impact. They need to get 60% plus of hotel owners of 100 rooms or more to sign off so that the city can then come back and ratify the public improvement district. What I'm not totally clear on is if you're a hotel under 100 rooms, are you also assessing the fee or are you not affected? Cassandra, you probably could shed some light on that.
Yeah, Cassandra, do you understand the question?
I do. So this is the way that we set up a tourism improvement district is actually mandated by the state of Texas, and it does outline it's 100 rooms or more. However, for those hotels that are under 100 rooms, there's nothing to say that they cannot be a voluntary district contributor. So our first phase is obviously to talk to those that qualify for the traditional tourism improvement district, but we've already have been receiving a couple of calls from hotels that are under that would be interested in talking about a voluntary involvement.
One of the other questions that I had, and certainly the larger hotels have always played together really well, and I'm sure helping get this public improvement district as far along as in the conversation that it is. Those that don't participate, especially the ones under 100 rooms, has there been any dialogue in how to protect them from marketing against those that are assessing the fee? In other words, saying, hey, come here, we're cheaper?
Well, Visit San Antonio, we represent the destination, and our role is to utilize those dollars to bring in visitors to the destination. Many of the hotels in our community, if not all, they have their own marketing and promotional budget as well to drive business to that particular property. So once a tourism improvement district is created, there will also be a board of directors made up of those contributing to build and create priorities. I do want to point out.
So Cassandra, I got to take a break, but when we come back, I want to hear more about the nuts and bolts about how this would work, who has to contribute, and how that money is going to be used. When we come back from this break, I get a question or a comment about tourism in San Antonio, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about tourism in San Antonio, a major part of the local economy. 1 out of 6 people in San Antonio are employed in tourism and hospitality. In Texas, statewide, it's 1 in 10. What's going to be happening with tourism? How do we make sure that we're keeping tourism robust and healthy and on an upward trend in San Antonio? A lot of competition across the country. And how do we make sure that the people who are employed in tourism are getting fair wages? Is that a concern? How do we make sure that the tourism economy isn't a trap for San Antonio, but it's able something that we're able to put out there and use, but also build our other sectors as well simultaneously? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. When we were going to break, we were hearing from Cassandra Matei, President and CEO of Visit San Antonio, about some of the mechanics behind this proposed tourism public improvement district that would cover the entire city, charge hotel guests an additional fee of 1.25% for their home room rate. And so back to that, Cassandra, who pays those that fee? Is that for all hotels or just ones with the lodgings of more than 100 rooms?
Sure. So it is a state code that outlines tourism improvement districts. And in that, it does define that it is in the city of limits. So it would be hotels that are in San Antonio city limits that are 100 rooms or greater. And of that, 60% of the owners must sign on in order for this to move forward. They would agree, and then that would create the tourism improvement district. If you are a property that is under 100 rooms, we will be talking to them about a voluntary opportunity to be part of the district, because the idea of a tourism improvement district or any type of business improvement district is that it is to benefit, those dollars are to benefit those contributors into the tourism improvement district. And all along, and I do want to acknowledge this, the San Antonio and Hotel and Lodging Association is actually the lead in pursuing this initiative. Because, of course, Visit San Antonio, we are very elated about the opportunity to have more dollars to promote the destination. But if the industry, and specifically the hotels, aren't interested in this or wouldn't support this, then this would be that we wouldn't have this discussion. I will tell you, from sitting in the task force meetings on discussions about the Tourism Improvement District, the philosophy and the foundation of our district is to drive demand and business to San Antonio. So there is not one initiative that can be paid for by TPID dollars that wouldn't drive business. In fact, in the service agreement, there is a 7-to-1 return that must be met on the initiatives that would be utilizing those dollars.
All right, let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. And Ditta is on the phone. Ditta, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. I was just wanting to know about the amateur sports venues y'all had mentioned earlier, as far as what those venues are currently and what are any plans for expansion, because, you know, we got the Alliance football team coming here to San Antonio. It's supposedly going to be competing with the NFL and whatnot. So I was just curious as far as for maybe, say, rugby or even Major League Baseball, you know, changing up Wolf Stadium to some other location. Just in general, what are the amateur sports venues that are available, and what are the futures for them?
All right, Ditta, thank you for that call. Cassandra Matei?
Yes, thank you so much for calling in. I don't actually have the list in front of me, and I'm out of town, unfortunately, but I can certainly get those to you. But there, I believe there was many all around the city and around the county, and there are a variety of venues. So they can accommodate volleyball, swimming, many different sports. And one of the things when we talk about markets, you know, we got a lot of accolades, and it was such a great impact on our community holding the Final Four. But we know that we can impact countywide hotels with bringing more amateur sport competitions to the destination. So these venues are certainly helpful, but I can obviously get to the radio station the list of the sports facilities.
But there's a lot of these amateur sports facilities can be things like we have like softball tournament sites. Also, there's a world-class swimming facility now in San Antonio. And these are things that have been put together that bring people from across the country and across the state in order to participate in San Antonio. And they tend to come for the event, but they'll also stay an extra night to enjoy downtown or go to some of our amusement centers. So there's lots of reasons why these things are a good investment for San Antonio. Is that right, Cassandra?
I'm sorry, say the last part of your question.
So there's a multiplier effect by having these facilities. They do bring people in from around the state to have tournaments, and then they also they enjoy the Riverwalk. They go to Fiesta Texas. They do all sorts of things.
No question. Anytime we have a long-term agreement with the UIL for their boys and girls basketball tournaments, that kind of bookend spring break week each year. And you're exactly right. They extend their stay to enjoy some of the attractions in the area. They certainly dining is number one, as well as shopping. So there is that domino effect within our community.
Let's go back to the phone lines with John. And John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just have a question about locals from San Antonio or from Texas towns that decide they want to have an event downtown and they want to stay at a hotel. So if you're a local and you're not, I guess you wouldn't be considered a tourist, would you still be required to pay that hotel tax since you're from the town and you're not from out of town?
All right, John. So as I understand the question is, you know, sometimes, you know, my hot water heater floods my house. I got to get somebody in there. I got to spend a night in a hotel. Even though I'm not an out-of-town guest, I'm going to get a hotel room locally. Am I still going to have to pay these fees? Cassandra Matei?
Yes, sir. So you do. It doesn't matter where you are coming from. So if you are a local and you are doing a staycation, you are required to pay the hotel occupancy tax, and then you would be required to pay the Tourism Improvement District. Because what it does is it goes back into our promotional and sales activities. And as I mentioned, there a lot of the hotel tax, it affords us as residents of San Antonio to enjoy things like the Tobin Center for Performing Arts, the AT&T Center, the Extended River Walk. And so it does with a lot of amenities that I get to enjoy every day in San Antonio. So, yes, whoever's the hotel would then be. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit, as you mentioned earlier, about is there a concern about affordability? And I will tell you, our committee looked at that long and hard, and the reality is we are a very affordable destination. When groups are looking at us for conventions or families for vacations, when you look at our entire destination, whether it's, you know, from transportation to the hotels to even dining, we are a very affordable destination that, and we provide great value. So, again, we do not see that going to be a competitive disadvantage. If we're not able to grow our budget in line with our comp set, who is aggressively out there talking about their destinations, and with the cut recently with the state, we could really see a negative impact overall in our community.
Dave? Okay, and so Scott Bailey, you wanted to join in on? He's with the San Antonio Business Journal.
Yeah, real quick question, Cassandra. Again, a little bit more clarity, perhaps. So if I'm a hotel of 100 rooms next to a hotel of 99 rooms, and I'm opted into the Public Improvement District, the property next to me is not, is there any mechanism that could be put in place so that those who are helping contribute and maybe even having to pass along that rate to their customers with a higher cost, that they're getting a little bit more out of this than those who are not opting in or not participating?
So you're saying that those are people, there are hotels that could opt out and basically freeload on all the good work that's being done by Visit San Antonio and by the hotels that are paying for it. So how was there a mechanism to try to correct for that?
I think I would answer this question in a couple of ways. Is that the board of itself for the Tourism Improvement District has not been created, and therefore they haven't created all of their priorities. However, from the initial conversations, those monies are to be used for working dollars for to enhance our marketing and sales efforts that we already do. There may be specific programs that they want to create that only that district, those district contributors would get that benefit. However, if that was a true scenario of 100 rooms and 90 rooms, and they're competing against the same business, they're going to adjust in order to win the business. I mean, you know, when we compete for conventions is probably the best example. We know what other cities are offering, and that helps influence our hotel rates, what we can offer regarding hosting obligations and so forth. So I tell you, I mean, in the world, it is very competitive, but we're also talking a very nominal fee of 1.25%.
Okay, did you get that? So there's, right now, this is still in development. We haven't really got a plan in place, but the idea is, you know, if you're a big hotel, you're probably going to be one of the first to benefit from the overall plan to promote San Antonio. We're going to go to break. Call in if you've got a question or a comment about what's happening with San Antonio's tourism industry. You know, if you're a college student, if you're a part-time worker, if these are the working in the hospitality industry is how some people make ends meet. But, you know, what more do we need to do to make our industry, our hospitality industry, more robust and provide a livable wage? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Nearly 30 million visitors to Bexar County in 2015. Hospitality in the Alamo City contributed at least $13.6 billion to the local economy in 2015. And that's according to data reviewed by the City of San Antonio. Industry is divided into four major sectors. Restaurants and catering, that's half of all of that impact. Lodging, that's 22%. Travel and transportation, entertainment, recreation. Are we doing enough to maximize San Antonio's tourism economy? Are we making sure that San Antonio remains a destination city, top of mind for the people who are thinking about, where do I want to go on vacation this year? How do we make sure that they consider San Antonio and pull the trigger to come here? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Susan is on the line. And Susan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I wanted to know, since a lot of people are staying in Airbnbs, if they would be paying these taxes or fees also.
Okay, that's a great question. I've been trying to get to that question too. So, Susan, thanks for bringing that up. So, not only are there's an issue of Airbnbs, short-term rentals, not paying the hotel motel taxes that they're supposed to be paying, although they're trying to fix that in the city. Now that the hotels that are paying their hotel motel tax, now they're being asked to pay another fee for visitors. Are we punishing hotels for doing the right thing and letting the short-term rentals, Airbnbs, get away and not pay anything? So Cassandra Matei, can you talk about that?
Sure. So I don't really view it as punishing the hotels, because remember, the hoteliers are actually the ones that are leading this initiative because they see value and that they would benefit in this effort. Specifically Airbnbs, we are working more and more with Airbnbs, and you're exactly right. There's a lot of travelers that want that experience. And I know the city of San Antonio is currently going through a process to talk about whether there should be regulations and different things regarding short-term rentals. However, one of the things that if you do stay at Airbnb that's being discussed all over the country and in most destinations is, yes, you would be paying the hotel occupancy tax. In this case, because Airbnbs usually are one room or a house, they would not be part of the tourism improvement district.
I want to go back to David Teal, the CEO of the Texas Travel Industry Association, and talk about the concern I have about promoting the state of Texas, but not just the state of Texas. We know that the coast took a beating last year with Hurricane Harvey, and towns like Port Aransas, Fulton, Rockport, that they're hurting, and they really don't have the funds to promote themselves like they should. And many people haven't gotten the message that they're back open in many ways to serve the tourist public. But if the state has cut tourism funding, is that message getting out there? And we need to be telling that story as well.
Well, you know, I think the state's doing what they can with the resources that they have available, but it's not the same as it was a year ago, obviously. And you're exactly right. These communities did take a beat. And you look at Port Aransas and Rockport Fulton and others along the Texas coastline. I mean, one out of every four Texas travel and tourism industry jobs is a coastal job. So it's a huge part of our economy. And cutting the state's budget in half, coinciding with the timing on Hurricane Harvey, has been really problematic for these communities. They've worked really hard to try to get back online, get as many businesses back up and running as they possibly can. The beach hasn't gone anywhere. The beach is still there. But perceptions, and that's an issue that's, perceptions is a real deal that we have to deal with in our industry with our marketing and advertising efforts. Perception is, you know, the coast is not open. So everybody needs a, they all need a robust effort, a full throttled effort behind them to get that message out. You know, these communities were severely damaged. Their own promotional dollars are extremely limited at this point. They can't get that message out. So at a time when they really need the state to be there for them, the state's really not fully equipped to do that.
So it chose not to, the state chose not to be equipped to do that. Let's just be clear.
Well, and you know, and now I think it's a great message for all of us. I mean, this is all of our beach. This is a Texas beach. We're all Texans. And we all go there. We all go to the coastline. And I think that's a great message for us to stress at home to our elected officials is, you know, we need that program back up and running.
Okay.
We need to get that where it was.
All right. I'm going to go to some callers here. I've got Ryan. And, Ryan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, you know, I've been working in hospitality now, I think, for 4 years just about. And I work primarily downtown. And, you know, a huge convention hotel, one of the biggest downtown. And I absolutely love seeing the visitors' faces light up whenever, you know, hey, yeah, the river's right there. And these are the attractions. You know, we have the laser light show at the San Fernando and a whole bunch of other things. So I think a tax that guests, to be entirely fair, won't hardly even notice, if at all, will be great for the city and just add to the amazing thing is to bring so many people here to, you know, the Henry B. yearly.
All right, Ryan, thank you for the call. And that highlights an important part of the San Antonio experience. Hear it all the time that it's the people here, the friendliness and the hospitality. It's not just an industry, it's an attitude in San Antonio. People really take that to heart, like our caller there. Let's go to Justin Holly. Justin, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. This is Justin Holly. I'm the chairman of the San Antonio Hotel Association, and I've kind of been one of the leaders in the process of ensuring that this this improvement district gets put into place, because I think as an owner of a management company and an owner of hotels in the future, that we have to reinvest in ourselves. And this is one way to do it, and that's helping create demand. Business San Antonio has done a very good job of laying the base foundation, and now it's time to accelerate it, since the state kind of slacked out of what we feel that they should be doing and what they should be providing. So the hotel owners are stepping up and at regular record numbers to make sure that they sign on to this program and really get this across the finish line, because it's for every dollar we spend, we're going to create another $7 in room revenue, which ultimately helps the arts and culture of San Antonio by reinvesting in arts and culture and preservation. And I think that message is getting through loud and clear, and hopefully by this fall we'll have it in place so that we can start collecting and creating that demand to even showcase even more people coming to San Antonio.
All right, Justin Holly, thank you for those comments. And this is the tourism industry, the hotel association itself, endorsing this plan. Let's go now to Tim. Tim, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, David, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say I am 100% against it, any raise. I personally live near Canyon Lake. I travel a lot for my work. I stay in hotels a lot. I stay in San Antonio hotels. And I'm, like, personally offended when I see how high the taxes are. But they're too high already. They don't need to be any more boosts in it. And that's all I have to say.
All right, Tim, thank you for that, because that's a really good, important comment. So Cassandra Matei, president and CEO of Visit San Antonio, not everyone who comes to San Antonio and spends the night in a hotel room is here on a holiday. Some people are here on business, and they're working people. Sometimes they're truck drivers and or people, they're working families. And so they're going to be impacted by this as well. Are we considering that?
We are. Again, the group, we did extensive research and discussion. And as I mentioned, around the U.S., there's over 160 tourism improvement districts. So this is something that is happening in a lot of the major cities around the country. When we look at affordability, what I would tell you that makes San Antonio such a great destination is that we have a variety of price points, brands, and locations. If you look at our wonderful Riverwalk, there are a variety of luxury properties all the way to more economical properties. So you're going to still be able to have that range and choose where you want to stay that fits your budget. So, one of the things we talk about, and a lot of times we're on a lot of lists, is that San Antonio is a very affordable destination, and we want to remain that way. And so you have to look at it, the same industry that has the most to risk, because they are, they may lose that business, is the one that is supporting this. And when we look at TPIDs across the state, and I've talked to my counterparts, it has showed results in driving more visitation and more business to their community.
And so David Teal with the Texas Travel Industry, what's the elevator pitch? You know, when you want people to come to Texas, to visit Texas, where do you tell them are the highlights and why they need to put a Texas tourism on their bucket list?
Well, I think we've talked about a lot of it here today, and number one is we have wonderful destinations like San Antonio. It is the Texas iconic destination, home to the Alamo and the Riverwalk. Great culture, great history. Texas has many destinations like that. And we're called more like a whole other country. It's because you can get just a huge variety of experiences in this state at an extremely affordable cost. So it's a great value destination to come here. People are great. People are friendly. You're always going to feel welcome, and you'll want to come back again and do it all over again.
But what are tourists looking for? I mean, I care about they want the authentic experience. What does that mean?
Absolutely. Well, I think there's something now called immersion tourism, where folks like to come to the community, and they really like to experience that community as the locals do. And I think that just plays right into the Texas brand, right into the Texas hospitality, because we're such a welcoming culture, we're such a welcoming people, that we open ourselves up to that type of experience.
Yeah, people always ask me, what's a real Mexican restaurant, not a tourism one? I always send them to El Magrito on North St. Mary's. And real quickly, in 30 seconds, Cassandra Matei, what is the authentic experience that San Antonio offers tourism that's really paying off?
Well, if you think about it, we're celebrating our tricentennial this year. What is more authentic about that, looking back at 300 years where we came from? When people can come here, they can be part of living history and understand our culture and our arts and how we came to be today. People are enticed by that. You can go to, Mission San Jose. You can experience with your hands what people, many years ago experienced.
So you can see the tricentennial becomes more than just a number. It seems something that's really part of San Antonio and the tourist experience. I want to thank Cassandra Matei, President and CEO of Visit San Antonio, Scott Bailey with the San Antonio Business Journal, David Teal with the Texas Travel Industry Association. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.